Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to the program. The program, of course, is Media Network Plus. Now, if you've been listening over the last 2 weeks, you know that our special guest has been on the program, Mark Fahey, who's written a very interesting book about North Korean propaganda and media entitled Behind the Curtain. Now, the subject of North Korea and media and communications is extremely timely because of everything that's been going on over the last 8 days. And on today's program, we have something rather special. It's called Listening at the Border. This is a story based on fact. An American spy monitors the airwaves that drift across the North Korean border. He records, translates, and maps the conversations, coded commands, and air traffic from the North Korean army. Burdened with sound and overwhelmed by language, he navigates the border of translation, which he returns to civilian world. His highly developed listening skills inform his desire to become an actor. Now, the listening of these strange broadcasts that are coming across the border can actually be done very easily in Dandong, Liaoning province in China. Listening at the Border is a sound work by media artist Jay Needham. The piece has been created from a series of ongoing interviews with a military linguist. This Korean language specialist, trained at the Defense League Institute of Foreign Language Center in Monterey, California, a school run by the Department of Defense that specializes in intensive language training. The airwaves over Korea are monitored at all times by the United States Air Force. The linguists recorded, translated, and mapped the conversations of coded messages by air traffic control of the North Korean Army over the Korean Peninsula. This linguist returned to the average culture as a veteran, but the ongoing language battle and test of wills fought within this figurative space, and his experiences as a spy and translator forever altered his listening skills and informed his desire to become an actor. Now, this is actually a story based on interviews. I should mention right now, this is not a news report or anything like that, but nevertheless, it is very interesting. Media Network Plus now presents Listening at the Border, produced by Jay Needham.
While you're looking for something, it sounds much like it does when you're looking for something in your car stereo or your home stereo. Just intense static because you have the volume jacked up so you can hear even the faintest, you know, voice. And the static is just as roar, like the an electronic ocean wave or something. It's just that white staticky noise, and then it fades in and fades out and fades in. And then when you do hear a voice, more often than not, it sounds like you had taken a voice recorder and put it in a coffee can and then sunk it to the bottom of a lake and then were trying to listen to it. It's almost unintelligible. And in fact is unintelligible to probably 95% of those who hear it. And that's where the training comes in. After 63-week training course in California and then another 6 months of the actual listening training, I was sent to Korea in January 1996. My primary job was to monitor North Korean military communications. So the language training itself, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 63 weeks, studying nothing else, it was intense. All native speakers were our instructors. It was an amazing time. But what I wasn't really as prepared for was the second phase of the training, I guess, the actual listening portion. Doing the job that I would be doing later on in Korea, we would have samples of audio that you had to transcribe, and you would have to loop it over and over and over and slow it down and speed it up and try to break up syllable by syllable, trying to find out what it was that they were saying. Not moving, not even breathing that heavy, just trying to listen and catch every word. And that became a stress in itself. I mean, you try to listen so intensely and get everything right, knowing that if you don't, it could be your job lost. I ended up giving myself an ulcer over it. You know, so you have to be listening for the code words. You have to know what the code words are, then know how they're said, then know how the North Korean dialect differs from the South Korean, and how that makes words sound different. Because not only is it under static, and not only is it in a foreign language, but it's also in code. It's almost simplistic to say, but it just takes doing it and doing it and repeating it and doing it over again. Kind of bringing yourself into your own head almost, just so where the only thing that's registering is the sound. Finding out exactly what was going on, who was around, what was happening. And then once I knew exactly where I was in space, put the headphones back on, and then there was that bringing the curtain down, so to speak, on all of that I was just taking stock of. Listening in for any kind of voice activity. And after a while, you got very adept at discerning even the faintest of voices. Because it's tiring. Because there's an activeness to it. Because hearing is definitely a passive activity. And listening, it requires so much more engagement on your part. The listening on a day-to-day basis, the material, was always the same. Most often the same, but at any time it could be different. So you still had to listen very closely. It's as if you were reading the same page of a book over and over again. Even though you know what the words were, you still had to read them even more carefully. It was so taxing mentally. And I never thought I'd be a spy. I mean, that's what spying is. Looking and listening when people don't know that you are. Then again, I guess I thought spying would be a little more exciting. This is no James Bond here. Not so much for the exciting spy life. I mean, I wonder if they know. I mean, not that they know that I personally am listening to them, but I wonder if they know that they're being listened to. And I'm just listening to people's voices, trafficking in something that doesn't exist anymore. We make a record of it, use it for our own purpose. If I'm sitting here listening to them, and there are other linguists all over the world listening to other people, well, certainly, that somebody's listening to us, too. I remember one time going down into the market outside the base in the ville. It was a little narrow street that led right outside the main gate, barely wide enough for a compact car. The place was just packed. Business after business after business, 6 inches from the other. And I went down there to get some yakimandu. It was a fried dumpling from a vendor who had a little canopied stand with his little deep fryer. And he handed me the food, and as I'm eating it, I look at the wrapper, and it says top secret on the top of it. I'm eating fried fish dumplings out of classified material. So just as I'm collecting information every day about the North Koreans and what they're doing, the South Koreans outside the base are checking us out, seeing what we're doing. It's this circle of secrets and information. And once you are in the know, in the circle, got the dish, the lowdown, the skinny, it's a weird feeling because then you start to walk around head a little higher. You're walking a little taller. You've got something that nobody else has got. You kind of feel a little like a Bond, James Bond. And it's interesting because you feel like you have a certain power. And you may not really have power, but it feels that way. It's a strange kind of power that comes from having something that you really can't use in any way. But the mere fact of possessing it imbues you with some sort of feeling of power. Because that's the other part of this listening business, is because you are in possession of information that you cannot share with people. And that's the other thing about secrets. Everybody wants to know a secret, but there is something in us where everyone wants to tell a secret as well. And here I have this information and yet cannot share it with anyone. And that itself is a bit of a burden. It doesn't bother me to have this information, but the fact that I'm not allowed to tell it creates a certain feeling inside. But at the same time, it creates this kind of sense that while you're there, the linguist, the spy, there becomes almost a class system within the listeners. And the people that are listening to very complicated multiple sound streams of Air Force material or Navy material, the stuff that we're listening to is categorized. Not officially, but unofficially. And the people that listen to the very complex things occupy this higher social caste. And the people that listen to this certain target are the serfs of the linguists. I was on the rack on a particular day, and all of a sudden, the voice that I was listening to became very labored, very tense. And this new plane that they were following was coming straight down. And we became aware very quickly that the plane she was talking about wasn't a South Korean airplane or a U.S. airplane, but one of North Korea's own jets. A pilot had taken one of their jets while he was doing a routine training flight and took off. Went straight to the border. Defected. And once he got into that South Korean space, I looked behind me. I hadn't seen so much brass since basic training. Colonels, lieutenant colonels, generals. The place was a madhouse. I didn't know it because I had the headphones on, staring at my little green screen. That plane came all the way to an American airbase, landed. It was the most exciting day that I had there. That's what's interesting about the North Korean target, because as we are all trafficking in secrets, there is hardly a country on earth that is more secretive and people know less about than North Korea. It's the last bastion of strict communism. I left Korea in 1998, January. I was sent back to the States. I was stationed at a base outside of Washington, in between Washington and Baltimore. And it was so different from Korea in that where I was in this cavernous room with the movie screen with the map of Korea on it and the people walking around, not unlike what you see in the movies, to the regular office, the cubicles, the three-sided little universe that you inhabit and walk around and talk to your colleagues while they do what they do in their little cubicle. I can't really tell you about where I worked exactly, but I can tell you about the gift shop. The gift shop at this government agency's building was full of all array of tchotchkes, with the logo of the secret government agency emblazoned on it. There were giant golf umbrellas polka-dotted with the logo. There were shot glasses, ink pens, mouse pads, fleece tops, beach towels, toddler t-shirts with a crayon version of the logo. There were beer steins and coffee mugs and pencils and bucket hats and visors and baseball caps and embroidered sweatshirts, all with a giant logo and name of the exact place that we're not supposed to talk about. So when I was there and went into the gift shop, I bought a t-shirt and a sweatshirt and a t-shirt for my father-in-law and some magnets from my parents, some books from my brother, but I can't tell you about it. Once I had realized and grasped the idea that we are soaking it in from every point of the globe in terms of intelligence and information, it really resonated with the unofficial motto that we had around the building. In God we trust, all others we monitor. Gathering up that much material, and not just me but every other shop in the building, there was a lot of worry attached. Am I missing something? Is there something important in that month-old stack, or that you're translating or haven't gotten to yet, that affects a whole lot of other people? And that becomes a burden after a while. And it wasn't because we hated being in the military or didn't enjoy our jobs anymore, but it was a kind of pressure and a kind of weight that sat on you. Leaving that culture of listening, there was definitely some transitions that had to be made. I came out of my time in the military with a certain set of skills and experiences that I didn't think was going to benefit me in the civilian world. I would go to the job service, and everything that I knew how to do was not anywhere to be found in terms of jobs. In some ways, I think my present-day experiences create a kind of full circle. Military to civilian, soldier to artist, listener to doer. The act of listening that I did, the ability to key in and hone in on syllables, words, sentences, and squeeze every bit of meaning out of what people are saying, has been an invaluable gift in my acting training. Being a military member, a spy, and an actor, these are two polar opposites almost. It's been a strange realization as to how those two worlds have collided and kind of came together and served one another. But the one has really informed the other. In a strange and in an ironic way, it has made me a much better actor, having been a military spy.
경계의 개념은 그 경계에서 듣는다는 것은
the idea of borders.
남과 북의 사이
listening at that border.
그리고 민간과 군인
the border between north and south.
그리고 듣는 자와 말하는 자
the border between military and civilian.
그리고 기표와 기의 차이입니다. 경계가 항상 물리적인 것만은 아닙니다.
The border between listening and hearing.
그리고 단순히 선만도 아니죠.
The border between text and subtext.
또한 단순히 지도나 도표 위에서 볼 수 있는 어떤 것만은 아니죠.
Borders are not only physical. They're not only property lines
관계들, 그리고
or
지정학적
demarcation
위치,
lines
자연, 아트.
Or something that can be seen on a map or a chart. There's all sorts of borders.
그러니까 우리가 경계 위로 걸어간다면 또는 건너간다면
in relationships, in geography, in nature
우리는
in art and if we go up to the border and straddle it
모든 경계를 흐리게 할 수 있습니다.
And even cross it. We make a further step to dissolving all borders.
자유롭게 건너갈 수 있다는 말이죠.
And being able to roam freely in our ideas, in our hearts, in our intentions. In our actions,
우리의 사상과 마음으로, 의지와 행동으로,
we can truly see that we don't have to have the borders.
우리는 진실로 우리의 경계를 가질 필요가 없다는 사실을 깨닫게 될 것입니다.
Listening at the Border by media artist Jay Needham. Now, as this issue concerning North Korea is going to be ongoing at least for the foreseeable few weeks, next week on Media Network Plus, we're going to be going back into the archives with a documentary produced by Media Network in 1983, looking at the media war between North and South Korea. And that certainly is an interesting piece because, as the old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
The Spectrum Monitor is a monthly electronic magazine covering shortwave, amateur radio, scanning, satellites, Wi-Fi, and vintage radio, which is available for any device capable of opening a PDF file. The Spectrum Monitor also covers amateur radio satellites, maritime and military monitoring on shortwave, reviews of receivers, scanners, and software used for shortwave, and more. Annual subscriptions for 12 issues is only $24, with individual monthly issues available for $3 each. If you're already a subscriber, you can renew your subscription by clicking on the Sign Up for 2015 button. MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and PayPal are accepted. For more details, visit our website at www.thespectrummonitor.com.
Well, it's now time to turn our attention to propagation, what's been happening and what we can expect. Here's our propagation editor, Glenn Hauser.
Keith from IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast through April 22nd. Normal at low and middle latitude bands. Normal to fair at high latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa through April 22nd, magnetic conditions quiet to unsettled. Shortwave fadeouts unlikely. MUF unstable. From Met Office UK through April 23rd, a 20% chance of moderate class flares with R1 or R2 radio blackouts. 60% chance of minor storm intervals on April 23rd. From FK Yanda of the Czech Propagation Interest Group, the geomagnetic field will be mostly quiet on April 21st, May 3rd, 4th, and 6th. Quiet on April 22nd, 30th, May 5th, 9th, and 10th. Quiet to active on April 23rd, 25th to 28th. Active to disturbed on April 24th. Quiet to unsettled April 29th, May 1st, 2nd, 7th, and 8th. From SWPC in Boulder, geomagnetic activity reaching G2 moderate storm levels April 23rd, with ANK indices of 40 and 6. G1 minor storms on April 24th to 27th and May 1st, peaking on the 27th at 30 and 5. Lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 on April 22nd and 30th, and again from May 7th. Solar flux declining from 90 April 21st to 75 from May 2nd. The Lyrid meteor shower will peak on the morning of April 22nd. Listen for bursts of FMDX on open channels. William Hepburn's VHF UHF DX maps show extreme tropospheric ducting all week in these areas. Off the west coast of Mexico, off West Africa around Cabo Verde, off the southwest coast of Africa from Angola to Namibia to South Africa, the Red Sea, Persian Gulf, and Arabian Sea from Djibouti to India, and along the east coast of India to Bangladesh.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Now, before we go, there's a few things that I want to tell you about. On this week's Happy Station show, we have a very interesting piece where Niall Zack, who is an engineer, restored one of the original Radio Netherlands outside broadcast vans. Because as you're probably aware, last weekend we talked about this, Radio Nederland, well actually it's not Radio Nederland themselves, but a group of enthusiasts and Radio Nederland fans created a special program for the 70th anniversary of Radio Nederland. And the van was there, and Niall Zack actually describes it. So I would suggest you go and listen to the program. Next, WRMI, which is Radio Miami International, a station that we use for a number of broadcasts, they're shifting frequencies. Now, they were using 6855 kilohertz, that's 685 5.55 kilohertz. But due to interference from the U.S. Army frequency, WRMI has been asked to vacate that, and they're now off the air. However, they did find a replacement frequency, which is 9.455 kilohertz, and they've already started broadcasting on that directly to the southern western part of the United States and Mexico. Of course, that will be audible in other areas as well. Of course, Jeff wants to know, if you are in that area, how it's coming through. So go to 9455, that's 9455 kilohertz, and send an email directly to Radio Miami International and let them know how that frequency is coming through, and of course if it made any changes. There's a new shortwave broadcaster in Australia. They're not using very much power. You're only using about 1 kilowatt on 5055 kilohertz. That's 5055 kilohertz, and the antenna design is to give primary coverage from about 200 kilometers to 800 kilometers from the Innisfail. It is suspected, of course, that it might be difficult to hear further away. I'm not quite sure what the programming is yet. It is, of course, located in Queensland, but I would suggest you try to find if you can actually listen to them. So, the frequency once again is 5055 kilohertz. And that is, the station is called 4KZ. 4KZ shortwave service on 5055. And finally, actually, another thing concerning North Korea. With everything that's been going on, there's a lot of talk about a North Korean number station that has gone on the air, which was called V15. Now, people have been trying to locate the station, even myself here in Taiwan. I've been monitoring the bands, trying to see if I can find anything. The last time I did pick up a North Korean number station was quite some time ago. But if there is anybody out there that does pick up a North Korean number station, do send us along the clip with all the information that you have when you recorded it, and we will send you a little thank you gift, as we're trying as well. But of course, we want audience participation. Now, before we go, if you want to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, it's very easy to do. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Once again, mnp@pcjmedia.com. And coming very soon, a new website for PCJ Radio International. We're still online right now, and if you click on the PCJ logo at PCJmedia.com, it'll bring you to a program bank where you can listen to this and other programs. So on behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.